who's on, please? This is Rob Knapp.
Hi, Rob. It's Kristen, and I think everyone else will be joining us shortly.
Okay, terrific, Kristen. Thank you.
Tracy. Hey.
Ginger.
I think John's on here, too.
I am on here. I didn't know if I got to speak to him.
Typically not the case, right, John?
I'm a good listener.
Well, welcome. So, do we have everybody on?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Well, welcome. So, bring me up to date. First thing I always do is, one of the things I learned as I was coaching and going along is start by asking, what's on your mind? If you notice that Facebook does that too, it's a great thing to do in conversation just to make sure you're not preempting something that the other party is interested in talking about. So when you do your regular 12-4-2s, it's not a bad idea. I always tell people that the first thing you do on your agenda is to make sure that it's the client's agenda that comes first. So, John and team, what's on your mind?
Who wants to begin?
I'll go ahead and begin with, I know we filled out the pre-planning worksheets 1 and 2. I think we sent those to you early last week. And I believe we all have listened to week 1. So I know there were some questions about what we can expect going forward with how we'll receive our homework, when we'll receive it. And then I know one of the main definitions I think we need to make sure going forward that we is households, describing households and relationships. Your all's definition and our definition. I think, and just kind of understanding what our team does and what we're hoping to get out of Supernova.
Great.
Well,
Rob,
we have gone through the program before. Are you aware of that?
That's what I understand. I talked to Cindy, and she told me that you went through with Rob Schaefer. But you've got, tell me what's changed since then and what sparks the interest in going through again.
Well, I'll start with what sparks the interest and then somebody else can talk about maybe what's changed since then. We've been working with Matt Oxley's group for the last 2 years, and we've had good progress with them, but I think we were ready to move on to something else. Matt has sort of got a satellite thing now. Tracy and I've worked with Matt individually at least 2 times over the last 20 to 25 years. And we were just sort of, we think they had taken us maybe as far as they could with what they were doing. So I opened it up to the team and said, okay, I still think we need coaching. What would you like to do? And it came back that they, Tracy and Kristen, wanted to go to the Supernova again.
Awesome. Great. Tracy, you want to add to that? Why
Supernova again?
Why'd you pick us again?
What I feel like our team really wants to focus on service and processes. And I feel like you have so much more of a defined process for service. And I think that's with just the personality and the team we have in place. I think we benefit more from that. Just revisiting what we took out of Supernova the last time we went through, and then just we need to go back and we've gotten away from some of it, and we need to go back to it. again.
Okay.
And you know, we recognize the business has changed, and also the team is changing. Rob, I'll be 65 in a couple of weeks. And I've been doing this since 1982. When I was listening to your video last night, you know, you're talking about Merrill Lynch. I started at Merrill Lynch in 1982, so you may have a sense of sort of, you know, what I look like. And it's transitioning to Tracy running the team. And partly the industry's changing, where it is a lot of service now from when I started. I just think that we're good at service. I think the clients have come to expect really good service from us, but I think maybe we can get a little bit better on it. And I think in a lot of ways, it drives our business.
Mm-hmm. I like the way you put it in your homework, or the most recent video we watched, where service is a marketing strategy.
True. Yeah.
So that hit resonated with me, and how we can, I don't know, I don't think we market our service enough. So looking for ways to market our service.
In some ways, Tracy, do you think are we pricing our service and our everything that we do correctly?
We're probably undervalued.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing with this. My recollection of the first time we went through Supernova is we took a look at the who was paying us for what, and I think it's probably a good idea to do that again.
So help me on how, and then I want to hear from Kristen too. How have we gotten away from Supernova? Just so I know, because I can't see you guys.
I'd say we've gotten away from Supernova for some of the processes. You know, like defining a household, or making sure we only have 100 or 125 per FA, along with the monthly calls, making sure every client has a monthly call. And I think part of that might also be because we were implementing some of Oxley, and they do more of the defining of, you know, you have an A client, a B client, and you have different service models. So we
mm-hmm.
tried to mesh the two, and I think that, you know, because of that, some of the Supernova stuff, you know, may have gotten lost.
Yeah, I think sometimes we get busy being busy, and just this morning, an example I mentioned to Tracy, you know, we just phone call, I call somebody, they're not available, they call me back, and just sort of on and on and on, and we start reacting during the day. And we also have been continuing to grow. We've been bringing new assets in the last couple of years. That was one of the focuses when we were working with the Oxley Group. But then I wonder, are we structuring our business correctly, or could we do it better? And I think we could do a better job of that. And my recollection of the first time we went through Supernova, we had to make some tough decisions, and I think it's time to make some decisions again about the client base.
Yeah, it's a big help to it's funny how no matter, you know, I've had my own personal trainer for 30 years now, and I really don't want to get away from her because I know I'll backslide. It's not that I don't know how to work out. It's that she keeps me at least constant where I need to be. And so it's funny, you know, to pay a trainer to keep you where you are is kind of counterintuitive to me. I think I always want to be moving forward and getting better, but in reality, as you age, if you can stay the same, that's pretty good. So I think that that's it's not a ridiculous goal to say, you know, let's get to a very high level of supernova and then stay there. Because it's very easy to get off track or to get conflicting, consulting or conflicting instructions or conflicting ideas. I think all, you know, having multiple coaches is a good thing. I think there's just certain fundamental principles that we adhere to that keep us from getting too busy. And so that, I think, helps. You know, we studied the ABCD model and found that there were two big drawbacks to it. One was it's complicated. It's hard to keep track of who gets a birthday card and who doesn't. That we found, that's what people said. Why do you like supernova? Because it's simple. Everybody gets 12-4-2. The other thing is you can't really describe to a client what your service model is when you're having three or four different ones. So, you know, it's hard to tell somebody when you come to our Mercedes dealer, if you have a SL550, you're going to get really great service. But if you have a C-class model, then you can only come in on Tuesday or Thursday for service in the afternoon when it's quiet. So I think that the supernova model just simply says, hey, you're on a Mercedes, you're getting Mercedes service. If you can afford to be with us and pay us, then you're going to get great service. I think that makes your brand more consistent. We define, you know, I always tell people that your service brand is not determined by your best client, but by your worst client. And when you're conscious of service or you really value service as a part of your brand and you look at yourself and say, you know, what do our C or D clients get? You know, well, you know, for what they're paying, they're getting great service or good service. The question is that what your A clients will get and expect? And so who's telling what reporter what you do? Is it your C clients or D clients or your A clients? And so to me, I want to have a consistent market experience in my market. Richard Wileman always talks about becoming known and trusted in your community and establishing a community identity or brand. And the question is, what is our brand? So the simplification of that makes it, I think, better for everybody. So I think what we'll do, with your permission, is go, I want to hear from Kristen first, and then, Kristen, what do you want to get out of this? And what are you thinking?
One thing Tracy and I discussed is we did Supernova close to the time that Ginger joined the team, but she wasn't involved as much in seeing how the processes work and how the service works into the business model. Mm-hmm. She joined about the time we were creating the blue folders, so she at least helped on that portion. But hopefully she can see how the service drives the whole process and why we do have processes and how service is important.
Good. Yeah, when a new member joins, it's very helpful to have them understand, well, that philosophy, that what I just talked about, that can be very helpful to understanding what it is that we do, right? And why we do it.
Mm.
Okay. What else?
What do you need to know about our business, Rob?
Well, what I'd like to know is, I really should. What's changed since the last time you went through the coaching process? I mean, you said you've grown.
Say the last
what
two
else?
Years. Last 2 years, we've brought in about 40 million, maybe closer to 45 million.
Yeah, so we've been bringing in, you know, over $20 million in new assets for the last 2 years when we've been working with Oxley.
So what's your total number of accounts now, or relationships, households?
Well, depending on how you describe it, households were at 227, relationships were at 311.
Okay. And how do you break down the control of those relationships? Do you each handle, I mean, how many people are actually making calls to clients, 1242 calls, and how many do you try and make? I mean, how many clients do you try and service?
I would say that is not defined. But we don't have the relationships. Majority of the relationships are under where both John and I are.
Yeah.
You know.
There's an overlap in the main contact, and part of it is just the transition in the business. And I don't want to say that I'm leaving or going anywhere, but. You know, Tracy's a little bit younger than I am, and, you know, if something happens to me or if I decide that I'm going to retire, I think we've always wanted the clients to feel comfortable with the rest of the team.
Sure. So, I understand.
She's taken on a more, you know, more client-centered approach. Kristen and Ginger both have contact with clients. Kristen on a lot of the administrative things that go on in the team. Ginger, a lot of times, is the first person that would, you know, they would talk to on the phone. Ginger also does all the required minimum distributions, so there's and checks and Ginger, I'm sorry if I'm forgetting some things in here. So that everybody has, you know, touches the client one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But to Tracy's point, and I remember this from the first Supernova, you know, it's not as defined that with a few exceptions that, you know, I'm the person on this one or Tracy's the person on that one. And that's what my recollection was, that is what we worked on in the first Supernova, and we've, as the business has changed, grown, new assets have come in, clients have come and gone, you know, I think we've gotten away from that, and we were looking to have a little, you know, more, a little more definition with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, you know, and you know, the hard part is, you know, how many clients can you effectively service and still, I mean, I don't think you're opposed to bringing in $20 million a year, right?
No, we need to do that just because of the demographics of our book. Last year, we had 14 clients pass away, and
wow.
That was unfortunate, but it was also different than say, the year before, in that I think in almost every case, we maintain relationships with other members of the family, so the relationships stayed here, and in some instances, they've brought in other assets, or potentially could bring in other assets. That's not always been the case. Some of it's been the clients choosing, some of it's been ours, that we wouldn't want to have a relationship with the, you know, the next generation. But I just think, you know, so I've been doing this for 37, 38 years, whatever it's been. And if you start thinking about, you know, when I started in the business, the people that had discretionary income were 14, 15 years older than I am. So our client base is 75, 80 years old.
Yep.
And so you have to take a look at, you know, how do you keep the assets on in here or growing? And sometimes just to bring in $20 million, you remain where you were.
So, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, Ginger, how many of our clients take required minimum distributions? Do you have a number?
I don't.
Yeah, but it's big. And you think about the, you know, the assets, a lot of them go out, too. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's, you know, and just to give you guys some background on me, I'm same age as Rob Schaefer, we're both 72. I'm a little ahead of him, maybe by a half a year. And, you know, I started in 1972 in the business. So, and I'm, you know, I feel great and love the business and love to coach. And just so you know, none of the proceeds of Supernova Consulting, I never take a salary and none of the profits go to me. It all goes to either my foundation or to my employees. So this is a labor of love. This is what John will be doing when he retires. Do something like this, either for a non-profit or for a for-profit or for something fun to do. But I think it's important to keep your mind and your as active as your body as you age. But certainly I understand your situation, and I understand your mentality, and I certainly understand your clients now that I'm one of, you know, I'm of that age. So I think I can be of help from that perspective. I've seen a lot and I've coached a lot. We've been coaching Supernova for 12 years. And then of course I worked 35 years for Merrill Lynch. So, and you know, and managing and financial advisor for 7 and then managing director and running offices and then running the district for 10 years. So I have a broad knowledge of the industry and the business and teams. And so the other good news is we have two new books since you knew us. One of them is Supernova Teams, which I wrote with Curtis Brown. And the other one is The Supernova Multiplier, which is leveraging basically what do you do once you build this great quality client experience service business. How do you then leverage that to grow? So that would have been in keeping with what you've been just doing with Matt Oxley. And, of course, I'm going to be very interested in what you're doing on that side and how you've, you know, what you've adopted as rituals to keep that growing. But the fundamentals of the process haven't changed. We have created some more nuances in the process that as former Supernova people, I think you will like and value. I think it's gotten better and gotten more defined, but it does require that you have time to deliver it. And you guys are a little bit over the limit in terms of what we recommend for numbers of clients. And I always tell people you can have any number of clients you want. It just depends on how many hours you want to put in. My guess is you probably don't want to work nights and weekends. So in order to grow and keep up the acquisition strategies that have become part of your growth, you need to limit the number of clients. So you can, you know, the question then becomes, what do you do with those clients? You have two choices. You can either hire another person on your team and give the clients to them, or you can reassign them to somebody that you trust. Because at this point, most of the, you know, all the low-hanging fruit you've probably already reassigned, the easy ones. So, you know, so we recommend the people that have been doing Supernova for 3 years and are doing it consistently the right way have typically about 70 clients each. And so that would be where we'd try and get you all. And to be honest with you, you know, you are not a team that I would recommend that you consider both options. Bringing on another team member that you would value and coach and mentor and become a partner for Tracy as John transitions. Or find another team member outside of your team that you could, that wouldn't be a part of your team, but would be a person that you would trust. So I think that that's one of the first things that you should decide, frankly, how you want to handle the clients that, because I think you have too many. And it's not a crisis, but it's going to be an impediment to everything that we try and do together. And I don't think it's a financial decision for you guys. Typically, it's still the 80-20 rule or the 70-30 rule, and that, you know, there wouldn't be that many clients that would be fall under this knife. that it would, you know, it's mostly an emotional thing that you don't want to do it because you're attached to them. It's not a financial decision. So, you guys, you know, that would be one of the first things that you need to do. That's why we spend 4 weeks on segmentation. And to get there, what we recommend is to establish your minimums. Now, do you have minimums now from the old days of coaching Supernova, or have you gotten away from that?
Well, we have we kind of have a range. We have an ideal, which is 2 million, and yep. The lowest we'll go is 500,000, depending on the relationship and the possibilities. You kind of listed some of those possibilities in the video. You know, we would like for it to be 2 million, but we will go to 500 depending on if some of the other boxes are checked.
All right, so do some math.
Can you define a client? What you consider when you say 70 clients per essay, what is the definition of
clients? That would be a household that you speak to, that you give 12-4-2 to, and you deliver a variety of services. But it would be one family. It wouldn't be, you know, multiple families.
So it'd be husband, wife, and children?
And children, yeah.
Okay, but it wouldn't be siblings?
It wouldn't be siblings, no.
Okay, so for an example, we had a husband and wife recently passed away, and we've maintained the assets, but so now we have 5 siblings that have their own separate accounts with wives or, you know. So now that went from one household to 5 households.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. I mean, it's, you know, we always say if it's I mean, just mathematically, right? And you say, okay, it, let's define that. You know, it, what's your minimum? Let's say your minimum is $2 million and somebody has $10 million and they divide it by five, it's still good, right?
Right.
Still makes your minimum. But if somebody has 500,000 and they have five children, now we're into a nightmare.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now this case is more of the first, you know, it's closer to the $2 million once we divided it among the five.
Yeah, and as you said, usually, you know, when you're into a situation like that, the children are successful and they're going to, you know, start with the $2 million, or they, you know, maybe they had $1 million of their own and now you've got $3 million and growing. So that's a good, you know, that's a great situation.
Right.
So you go from a good situation to a great situation, which is, you know, America, right? Growing, multiplying, getting bigger. Converses the distribution on a $500,000 account and they die and it goes to the kids and now the kids are not as successful and now we're distributing from them and the money's gone in 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, that's, and we've seen both, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we have.
Well, can I go back a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you all believe that we have too many clients?
Are you asking us?
I'm asking us, yeah, okay. team members.
I think by Supernova's definition, meaning, you know, how they define a household, then yes, for us to be able to do the full service, we have too many households.
How about that? Any other matrix? Do we have too many clients?
Well, I do think we have. Yes, I still think we have too many clients by other matrix in regards to that, you know, we can't service all of them the way we want to service them.
Right.
So, yes, there are some clients that, for us to service them the way we service them, we don't get paid enough from. Or they don't refer, you know, they don't fit the other boxes that we've, you know, talked about.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, there are some days when, you know, I feel like we're just busy and sometimes chasing our tail. And I'm anxious to get into some of the analysis because and this happened the first time we did it, is there was a lot of service being given and the clients weren't paying for the service.
Mm-hmm.
And we should, you know, we should spend our time on the clients that are paying us for what we're doing. And by the same token, clients that appreciate what we do as well.
Right. And that's where we have, in my opinion, conflicting service models with, to me, you just described the ABC, you know, you get the service that you pay for versus Supernova gives the same service to everybody. Well, we can't do that with the client base we have right now.
Yeah, but it's not fair.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No. Mm-mm. It's not fair
to the client. It really becomes, you know, it's sort of, we built Supernova not for Rob Knapp, but for you guys. You know, Supernova didn't come from Rob Knapp. It came from financial advisors throwing their hands up and saying, I just can't do this, or I don't want to do this. It's not fun. I'm too busy. I'm not growing. I can't deliver financial planning the way I want to the people that deserve it because I'm servicing all these other people. So it's kind of like saying to a surgeon, I want you to spend half of your day as a family doctor and the other half as a surgeon. And you say to yourself, is that really the best use of a surgeon?
I think that's what we're tracing. That's what we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, we need to help the people that we can help. And the people that appreciate it and pay us for it So we need to do an evaluation and start moving in that direction again.
And you can't think of what you're doing for those people as something that's a bad thing or it's not in their interest or, I mean, you just simply, I mean, that, think about it that way, right? That they need a family doctor. They don't need a surgeon. They're going to be perfectly happy with a family doctor. That's all they need. And right now they're being taken care of by a surgeon who should be charging them a lot more and isn't because he isn't or she isn't. It's just because they aren't. And so it's not really, I mean, it's not fair to you guys.
Well, we had a client that retired. He was an internist, and Tracy, you know this story. He said he spent more time doing this Epic system, which is what the hospitals that his practice sold their practice to a hospital here in town, and he had to fill out all his documents, and he just said, I went to medical school. I don't need to be typing in these reports constantly. And a lot of times I feel like, you know, we're doing a lot of things around here that we should be focusing on helping the clients with some situations that they have. So I guess the answer would be we need to free some more time up because we could help these people. We could really help these people. And then the other people that aren't, we don't really probably couldn't help them, or they're not willing, able, whatever it is to pay us for it, we need to find a happy home for them. But I don't think anybody on this line wants to work weekends. Tracy and I did that for a long time. I don't think anybody wants to stay here till 9 or 10 o'clock at night anymore. I think we're past that. So I think we need to figure out a better way to continue to grow, to be profitable, and to make sure we're having some fun doing what we're doing every day.
Yeah, that's the part. I mean, in reality, as you know, as we age, I mean, we still want the good part and the fun part of this job, but we don't have to tolerate the other parts of it. You know, we can hire people to do that. We can not do that at all. We can, there's certain compliance things we have to do, but if you need to, you know, you can afford to hire another person to take care of that paperwork that internist is talking about. So to me, you know, those are the decisions that you make that are as much lifestyle decisions as they are productivity decisions. I mean, it's sad a doctor, you know, quits because he just can't stand the paperwork they have to go through today. But he's got a choice, you know, to hire a nurse to sit there or a person, an aide to sit there and type it all in, or I have to type it in this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
We all see them, right? Every time you go to the doctor, you never look them in the eye anymore. They're always typing while you're talking. That's not exactly a personal, I mean, they try and make it a personal relationship, but it's like you're talking, they're typing, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Anyway, so here's the steps that we need to take from today. All right, today we have to establish our absolute minimum and our target minimum. So you have two minimums. I want them based on fact, not emotion. So I want to, and you do too. So what you do is you take the average or the mean of your practice and you divide it by your number of clients that you want to keep, say 100 each, and that's your number. That's your absolute minimum. Meaning if you brought somebody in below that, there'd have to be a really good reason because it would either increase the total but you wouldn't want to take a client out of the group in order to bring somebody in that was below your average. You always want to bring somebody in above your average and take somebody out off the bottom. And then your target minimum is, if you take the time to prospect, who is it that you want? So you don't want your average. What you want is a client that looks like the top 20% of your practice. So the average of the top 20% of your practice will define your what you'd like as a client, your future.
Okay.
So absolute minimum, target minimum, and then what are we going to do with the client now and in the future? Because we don't ever want to have more than the 200. In fact, you know, we really want to get it down to 140 at some point. And do we want to increase our team, or in the meantime, do we want to just reassign these to somebody that we value and trust? And we'll, and theoretically, with our stair steps to the stars, they should be doing Supernova 2, because there's nothing worse than giving somebody Supernova service for 2 or 3 years and then assigning them to somebody that doesn't call them. You know, you want to train the person. You know, if we're going to give you an account, we're either going to split or not split, but basically it's going to be a sundown. You're going to own them. But in order to do that, we expect you to deliver this level of service. And if you don't want to do that, then we're not going to give you any client.
Can I ask you a quick question on that?
Yeah, you can dictate what you want.
Okay. What is your experience with reassigning to here I think it's called a Wealth Minute, like migration center, where it's basically a whole department within UBS that their job is to service those clients that don't meet, you know, these our minimums or even the firm's minimums?
Yeah, I think that's fine for those folks.
Okay.
I find that, you know, we worked with you guys for 10 years, and really didn't get much pushback at all. If it was horrible, we would have heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it,
so,
yeah, it works.
And it works for, when you say for those clients, meaning those that just, I mean, what if we, is that one of our options? Is that a,
oh, sure.
Qualify
yeah,
as a reassignment option rather than finding a team or person here in this office. That
of course.
Is a suitable. Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, but it, here's where you get in trouble. When you start to get clients that are larger than, say, $250,000, sometimes the center doesn't want them, you know.
Right, there is qualifications, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so, you know, they'll take them if you make a phone call. As to why you're doing it, but that's kind of, you know, you got to have a relationship with them, and they've been great, you know, but most of the time it's somebody's going to value that client and those fees. So, you know, you can do a favor. I mean, this is a wonderful thing for everybody. You're going to make somebody's day if, you know, this is the easiest thing in the world for a person that isn't a prospector but gives good service and is willing to work, you know.
Tracy, are you concerned because of the history that we've had and with the transitioning accounts?
I just, yes. I mean, I... sitting here, you know, and we've done this, you know, not just this moment, but I just can't come up with somebody in our office. that I would want to transition clients to.
Kristen, can you think of anyone?
No.
12 years ago, we gave a lot of accounts to two other advisors in the office, and they were very happy to take, I guess it was $30 million worth of assets. They've since left and gone to Morgan Stanley, which was, good for them, and they took all the small accounts with them. And then a few years ago, we gave some accounts to another advisor that's still in our office. And you don't think that's an option, Tracy?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's my initial.
Okay. I don't disagree. I just wanted to get your, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's something that we need to talk about then. And it may be a case-by-case thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I mean, have you
done
that before where there's more than one option on reassignment?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just, for these clients, this is a good guy. For these clients, this is a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Or, think about longer term, we're all about teams and team building. You can create your own,
right.
Your own world of service and standards, and then you control it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy, Kristen, if we do find somebody or whatever we decide to do, are you all inclined to have some kind of recurring income stream coming off of these?
I think it depends.
Yeah. I think the way it works is typically you share for the first 6 months, I believe, and it might even be a year if they go to the Wealth Advice Center. But, it would be nice to help while we're going through this process, to offset it, but I don't think that's necessary. But
okay.
My two cents, there's two, one is if you can give them a sundown provision, meaning, we'll do this for 24 months and then it's yours, then they have more skin in the game, they're more interested. The other thing is there's a compliance trailer that you may not want.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
For those 24 months you're on the hook, and if they screw it up, you're dragged into arbitration along with them, and you didn't do anything. So
it's a good
point.
I'm looking at some of the trailing 12 production of a few of them,
uh-huh.
And it's not that much, maybe $500 was their trailing 12.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying case by case.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Wanted to clarify, see what everybody was thinking.
I hadn't thought about the compliance part of it all. You're getting commission, getting a portion of it, you're still on the hook. Yeah.
We have Merrill Lynch management on the line, Tracy.
Yeah.
I've seen it all.
Yeah, you have seen it all.
I've seen it all.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So in terms of homework and, what I recommend, guys, is, here's the A student. This is what you do as an A student. You might as well hear what I recommend. You watch the video together. Meet 15 minutes before the call and review the homework and make sure you've got it done. Then meet with me, ask your questions, get things solved. Then meet for at least 15 minutes after, make assignments, make sure everybody knows what it's going to take to get the job done for that week, and then maybe get together midweek for 15 minutes. Just a kind of a quick heads up, how are we doing on the things we said we were going to, anything holding us up, et cetera. And that's great. And the other thing is, keep checking in to make sure that, you know, folders have been ordered, that, you know how to do it all. But, that's a big help in terms of, so, we watch the video. We have each person should have a workbook. It's pretty well spelled out every week what the assignment is, what the homework is, and then, you know, when you meet with me, it should be, you know, sort of after you've seen the professor on the screen. Now, what questions do you have? Let's make this very interactive and solve problem solving rather than me teaching the course. Get the Supernova. If you haven't read the Supernova Advisor for a while, read that, and then jump to the Supernova Multiplier, because that will be a good review of the whole program, but it also goes through the entire acquisition strategies, which we'll talk about. You know, we don't just do segmentation and then organization and acquisition. We do talk about acquisition strategies. All the acquisition strategies are built around the service experience. So Bill Cates loves us because who is the referral king? Because he says, and I agree, you can't really expect to get introductions unless you're giving an extraordinary experience. So that's about it. I will, we'll talk about anything that you all want to, because you've been through this. I don't want to, you know, kill the same earth, but it sounded today like, you know, it was a good refresher.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Questions on the video. When will we get the video for the homework of the week? When does that come out?
It'll come out like today, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And we record each call. So, for example, today we didn't really have a chance to, I mean, we don't on the first couple calls have something of, you know, let's say something where you say, wow, I love the way you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We record it so that when that happens, either you or me come up with something, some verbiage that you really like, and you can repeat it as many times as you want.
Wow.
So that recording is available for you. You also have access to the website for a full year. And on there are interviews, webinars, white papers, all kinds of stuff that we've developed over the last 12 years. But this book that I just finished, The Supernova Multiplier, is stories that have been written down for the last 12 years of all the, you know, all the great ideas that we came up with during these coaching. And I didn't hold anything back. Like you, John, I'm not at a stage where I'm interested in taking it with me. I want everybody to have everything. You know, there are no secrets that I held back. So it's all in the new book. So I think you'll like it. I hope.
Well,
it's out. Kristen
has already sent us the, she's already looked up the book. So we can if one of them's coming out a certain time, what is it, Kristen, and the other ones, we can order it today.
Yeah. So anyway, it's fun.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody last week, and we were talking about business and so forth, and he told me, he goes, well, you know, John, you're playing the back nine. I thought that was an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, but you haven't even gotten to the 18th to the 19th hole yet.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell him I didn't play golf. I didn't know where that would put it. But, yeah.
The 19th hole is the bar.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. So anyway, no, we're, you know, the back nine is a wonderful back nine as long as you have your health.
Yeah.
So you want to make, you know, this part of your career, your life should be a very, should be fun, as much fun as you can have, because it is, it's fun. This is a fun, you're in a fun business. It's a great job and you can really help people, but you know, you can help and save people by doing, you know, really good work. For everybody, but you know, the wealthy people with complicated situations are the ones that need you. And if you don't have time for them, then what a sad thing.
Yes.
So that's the game. You know, you're needed for surgery. So we want you both there for surgery. Mm-hmm. And if you want to hire an internist, great. That's up to you guys, whether you want to be in the business of managing a team or you want to be in the business of serving clients. It's not a good, one way is not better than the other. It's just, what do you want to do?
Right. But back to, you know, the other commentary is the other thing is getting, you know, getting everybody here ready when one of the team members isn't here anymore too. And
right.
I think this business, our business, is a wonderful business. You walk around the office, I'm sure everybody would love to have our book of business, but it can get better and it can get a little more streamlined.
Well, I'm flattered that you want to come back, and we'll work very hard to make sure that you get what you want out of the course. So keep asking each other questions and then write down the areas that you have conflicts on or questions or just clarification. That makes it so fun for me. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Look forward to it.
Anybody have anything else?
So we need to do week one, correct, in the book?
That's
chapter
right.
Chapter one?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, we look forward to talking to you next Monday.
Okay. Terrific. Look forward to it.
Right. Thanks. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.